Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Central Park is back on Apple TV Plus today, offering 8 more musical tune travails over the next month. Executive producer and showrunner Stephen Davis joins me next in an internet radio exclusive from Los Angeles. Our second half hour spotlights the latest new BYU television series, fantasy-friendly Ruby and the Well. We'll connect with creators Leanne and Brian Adams, also from L.A. Also ahead, the Disney Plus ad move, and Angelina Jolie turns back to television, our classic trivia question, and Game On at Amazon. That's the takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Verbal, and Reason. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Welcome to March. Welcome to a Friday afternoon. Happy you made the time for the program all about TV's current and future. Wonderful guests coming with you over the next hour and change, and we invite you, as always, to interact with them. How do you do that? You pick up the phone and you make a call with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway, or catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about using the phone, no problem with us. Use our chat room. It's available to you right now, SimonApple04 by name. And you can use it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, tune in screen, follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Incidentally, some people that may be live with us for the first time come from Amazon Music, now available on Vizio Smart TV sets. So if that is you, we welcome you into our audience, and we hope you make us a regular habit. That's Amazon Music, now available coast to coast on Vizio Smart television sets. We are be having Stephen Davis from Central Park joining me from L.A. after these news notes. If you're not a Disney Plus customer and willing to be one for a lower monthly fee, come this fall, you can. That is, if you're willing to see some commercials. Disney Plus will go forward with an ad-supported version of its service, exact launch date, lower price, and commercial load details forthcoming. The format will start out in the United States and then get worldwide adoption next year. Before making it movies, Oscar winner Angelina Jolie had a number of notable TV credits, such as the Emmy-winning TNT miniseries George Wallace, opposite Gary Sinise. Jolie will make a TV comeback as producer, director, or star of various projects co-developed with Fremantle under a new 3-year association. Their first TV undertaking will be unveiled soon. The deal also covers original movies and documentary specials. A&E Networks is making an investment in multimedia and talent rep organization Range Media Partners. In return, A&E Studios unit will team up with Range on several scripted projects, while A&E's channels get first dibs on nonfiction TV opportunities from Range rep talent. Move over, Survivor. NBC has competition coming your way with Million Dollar Island. Like the long-running CBS series, $1 million will be up for the taking among group contestants landing on a remote desert island. The twist, 100 people will be involved and be rewarded off the bat with a $10,000 bracelet. NBC anticipates the island activity, as designed by Taipa, that's the force behind another NBC series, the long-running The Voice, will take up to 50 days to play out. The expectation is that the show will start this summer. Now, quickies, another TV comeback development, Charlie Sheen teaming with Entourage creator Doug Ellen for Ramble On, a Hollywood scene-set dramedy. No commitment yet from a network or service. Bilingual Apple TV comedy Acapulco will return for a second season. That's on Apple TV+. Former ITV America and Turner Broadcast executive David Ellenberg is now guiding Roku's original filming push. And as of today, Discovery Plus has a new hub for probing that highlights contemporary and historical women. The title, Her Story. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles in an air radio exclusive, one of the executive producers and showrunner of the popular Apple TV Plus hit, Central Park, Stephen Davis. Stephen, welcome in.
Thank you very much for having me. Enjoying the show so far.
Thank you so much, and let's keep the enjoyment going. Stephen, how's it been going getting the next round of Central Park episodes up and running?
It has been a journey. This season started in our office in Burbank and quickly came to all of our individual houses, and we were able to keep the show up and running despite a global pandemic. Everybody took their computers home. Actors were sent microphones. And it has been a journey, and to see it now on the television, sitting on the same couch where I wrote and worked on the show, it's been a thrilling ride.
How did this ride get started in the first place? It's a very unique undertaking to do not just a tune series, but an animated series that incorporates musical songs.
Yeah, so this show started with a relationship being formed with Josh Gad, actor, singer of Broadway and Hollywood fame, and Lauren Bouchard, creator of Bob's Burgers, got together and started kind of kicking this idea around. And it just is, and I kind of forced my way into the show. I heard Lauren listening to hip-hop in his office, and I'd never really heard rap coming out of his office before. And Lauren's an amazing musician and has amps and guitars and keyboards and synthesizers laying around. And I went in his office, and I was like, what's going on in here? He's like, oh, we have these beautiful songs for the presentation for Central Park, but we're trying to add this hip-hop song. And I asked if I could help write it. My brother's a DJ and producer, and I used to make raps with him back when I was a child, and started working on this hip-hop song with him that turned into the song Poops That Pick It Up for the pilot episode. And that was kind of my entry point into it. And luckily, Josh Gad has these amazing friends in Broadway, like Leslie Odom Jr., Katherine Hahn, Emmy Raver-Lampman, who stepped in to kind of fill in this family. And it's been an incredible journey so far.
Mm. Was this designed by Lauren, Josh, and everybody as a love letter to New York?
Good question. I think, a lot of us are L.A. folk at this point, but all of us have a true deep love for New York City. I think people that live in New York maybe don't have the same love affair or love for Los Angeles sometimes, but we all, I think, have a deep, deep love and truly care about the city. My mom is from there, and I've spent a lot of time in New York. Love going there with my children, and it is. I hope you feel that, the love.
Mm-hmm. I was near Central Park. In fact, across the street from Central Park, the American Museum of Natural History last night. Disney had a wonderful event to kick off their upfront activities. That's upfront meaning, of course, for those who don't know or are not in the TV industry. That's when plumbing services decide to showcase to advertisers and the press and the public, here's what we're doing this summer, this fall, in this case, 2023. And what I think is very fun about Central Park is that you can enjoy it, whether or not you're in New York City, you can enjoy it because it gives you this sense of urban trial and tribulations, but do it in such a wonderful, wonderful environment.
That's right. Every single person can go to that park. Nothing can stop you from going to that park. Doesn't matter. It's a beautiful, respite in the middle of a chaotic town. And no, it's a really, really special place. And the Hunter Tillerman family are very lucky to get to live inside of that park. It's rare to get to have that much nature around you in the city for such a long period of time. Did you go to any upfront events, Matt? Oh, sorry about that. I was wondering what the upfront event was. That's okay.
Well, so far the upfront event's been virtual. A&E had A&E Networks had their upfront virtual event on Wednesday. And by the way, you can read about that, my review about that, at MediaVillage.com. That's www.MediaVillage.com. So the very shameless plug about that. We're just getting into the season. Disney had the first of their upfronts dealing with the technology side of their business. Which, by the way, came out before today's big news about Disney Plus going ad-supported, as well as ad-free during this fall. I'm curious, what was there any reaction for Lauren, for you, for Kelvin, your fellow co-showrunner, everybody involved, that was surprising about the first set of episodes last year?
Surprising about the first episodes that ran, you're saying in the first season or the first half of this second season that came out?
In the first season.
Yeah, I think in the first season, it's all of us love musicals and all of us love writing comedies, and blending those together into this 22-minute format, I think was the surprising part, that we were able to do it and that it worked. And was successful enough to get a second season and a third season as well. The idea of weaving these two things that we love together so much and finding this family and finding the rhythms of this family as we recorded them was just a true treat and a pleasure. Anytime we get these people on the microphone to record an episode. So we're just truly, I just feel so lucky to have this as our cast and this is our family. They're all, their voices and their souls that go through them to create these characters. We're very just lucky. So surprised that we all have them in the studio, surprised that what we did worked, and happy that it's still on Apple Plus. Everybody's phones, I guess. You can watch it on your phones, everybody. Get your phones out.
Central Park has resumed season 2 today on Apple TV Plus. First of 8 episodes came out today. They'll continue on a weekly basis through April 8th. And we've got one of the executive producing showrunners on the program live from Los Angeles at the hour, Stephen Davis, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And he'd like to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906. We'll use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Next episode is Monday, kicks off a triple header week. That means we'll be on with episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this hour. 10 years ago, on Cox Cable System in San Diego, California, a service came out that I believe got a lot of chuckles from people locally called Dog TV. Well, Dog TV has lasted a decade. It's now running on many smart TV sets and smart devices, and it's gone from being a network aimed at dogs through all sorts of videos to a network aimed at dogs and the rest of us human beings. And they're even doing some new original series as well. We will have an exclusive interview with our lead guest, the founder and chief creative officer of Dog TV, Ron Levy, on Monday. And then this Sunday night, Starz premieres its latest original series called Shining Veil, teaming up former Friends co-star Courtney Cox with former Talk Shoop star and Oscar nominee for As Good As It Gets, Greg Kinnear. The early reviews are good. We've got the co-creator and executive producer with Sharon Horgan, Jeff Astroff, will be along. And finally, next week, CNBC's got a brand new series called No Retreat Business Boot Camp. It's considered like an outward bound for up-and-coming entrepreneurs. We've got executive producer Nicole Elliott joining us. It's all Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, 90-minute edition right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's it been like to bring back the cast, and what a cast you've got, you know, lending their voices and their pipes? You know, just not just Josh, but, you know, from Hamilton, Leslie Odom Jr., and Daveed Diggs, Emmy Ray Relampin, Catherine Hahn, Titus Burgess from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Stanley Tucci's got a lot of opportunity now on AMC and AMC Plus. What's it been like to bring that cast back for a second go-round?
Yes, great question. Couldn't do this without them. Extremely lucky to have them. We'll sing their praises in any interview to anybody who will listen. It was very intimate the way that we recorded this. Everybody was alone in their homes as we recorded this season that you're watching now on Apple. It was people in their closets putting blankets over their heads to create a sound booth, and it was, you know, us talking to them from our laptops in our house, and it's very different than walking into a studio and going to work. It's basically like you put your kids in one room and go into the other room, and suddenly you have to come to life as Owen Tillerman on a microphone in your own house. And so it was actually hopefully an experience we'll never have to do again, because that was quite hard for everybody, but really excited they were down to do this and keep the show going and keep lending their voices and singing their butts off in their closets in their own house to these incredible songs that we have on the season. The show would not be what it is without them. So, yeah, really, really happy to continue finding these characters and growing the show, even from our own homes as we had to record it.
Were there certain ways that you wanted to grow this series? For those who don't know, this is about a family in New York, of course, in Central Park, that's trying to negotiate how life goes for them and their friends and their surroundings. Were there certain themes that you and everybody wanted to either expand on or launch that you didn't do in season one?
Yeah, I think season two took a slightly different approach, where season one, I think, you know, was a little maybe more serialized. I think season two, we kind of came, and Kelvin and I both have written for Bob's Burgers for the last 10 years, and I think just really wanted to get to know these characters more. And to do that, you get to make more episodic episodes where it's more interpersonal and less about maybe a global takeover plot from Bitsy Brandenham, which is still there and still in the background. It's so fun to write for Stanley Tucci. But this season, I think, is a little bit more getting into the characters. You know, we have an episode where Molly, played by Emmy River Lampman, has her first period, and Paige is dealing with that and helping Molly. Helping him maybe too much. Great episode. Watch and enjoy. And episodes where Cole is struggling in math and doing things that maybe you'd find more on a traditional sitcom, but through a family you've never seen on TV before.
Mm. You know, one of the things that makes this animated series stand out are the songs, are the musical numbers.
Yeah.
How did the musical numbers get inspired? And how do you determine which episodes will have a musical number or when in the episode and who does it? And give us the whole, the mechanism behind getting these songs on the air.
Yeah, great question. And we have our writer's room. And so the writers will break the stories. We'll have, your beginning, middle, and end. We have a three-act structure. And, traditionally in a musical, you can have your I wish song, kind of like your I want, your statement of like what this episode is going to be about, the character, their doubts about themselves, will I be able to get this thing, and then propels them onto their journey. And so we basically can start there and then say, who's singing that song? What's the style of that song? Who do we want to do that song? So I'll start with the first episode that's on this season, A Beautiful Mind. Cole fails for the first time. He fails in geometry. And we decided to have Shaggy write a song for that. And Shaggy's this incredible artist, and maybe that's an unexpected choice for a character's opening song where he's having a statement of disbelief and doubting himself, but it turned into this amazing song called I'm Bad at Being Bad. And so that would be one example. Another example, this is a song I'm very excited about this season, would be a reunion between Danny Elfman and Catherine O'Hara in a song called Light the Match that is in the B-Story of the Patriarchy episode, which is the period episode. So everybody, go listen to that song. But let me think about the idea of pushing story forward with music is really important. When a character sings a song, they can let you into their hearts, let you into their mind in a way you wouldn't when you're just talking to another person. So it's a little bit of a cheat code when you're writing a story to be able to have a character sing something, because you can get to know something about the character's wants and desires and needs and things they're not having in their life in a way you can when it's just two characters just talking to each other. So we're very lucky to be able to write three or four songs an episode like we did in season two.
Did we just hear right that Danny Elfman has put a song together for this season?
You did hear correct. It is on right now. It is in the episode called the Patriarchy. It is in the Bitsy Brandenham story. Catherine O'Hara makes an appearance, and it is a reunion of sorts that, they haven't performed with each other since Nightmare Before Christmas, and it's happening on Central Park. It was a really, really cool treat.
How did you get him? This must be the first thing that Elfman has done for television in ages.
It's I give Josh Gad credit for making this happen. He is an amazing connector of people. He basically, his life feels like one amazing dinner party of just friends and artists coming in and out of his life, and he's able to bring them into our show in an amazing way and putting people together and that you wouldn't expect to be together on our show, and here they are back, and Josh made that happen. And same for I'm trying to think of other artists. I mean, yeah, we had Cyndi Lauper season one. That was a Lauren Bouchard Bob's Burgers connection. We had Regina Spektor. We have who else do we have this season? We have an array of musicians coming on. I'm looking at a list in front of me. Who else do we have? Oh, two people I do want to celebrate: Kate Anderson, Elisa Samzel, our in-house songwriters who feel like an extension of the writer's room. If you tell them a story that we're working on the writer's room, they are just so locked into our characters' heads that they can just go off and write a song and send it back, and it just feels perfect. And so very, very happy to be working with them. They're an incredible extension of what we do in the writer's room, and couldn't do the show without them.
You've also got some new voices that could take some of those songs. You've got, again, some amazing people. Billy Porter coming off his wonderful role in Pose, Catherine O'Hara,
yeah.
Ellie Kemper, of course, coming off Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I wonder if she heard from Titus Burgess saying, I want some of that action in Central Park, too. He's having all the fun. I should get some of that.
Yeah, no, we'll work with anybody from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Send them all. They're an amazing show. They're all so funny. And Titus is a powerhouse of a voice, and somehow and just represents, just has this childlike soul that he speaks. I just love his performance as Cole. I always love a Titus record. And Ellie Kemper was wonderful as well. She can come back anytime.
Central Park, now in season two, second half, on Apple TV Plus, which is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. The first three episodes are now available. More coming your way through early April. We've got executive producer and showrunner Stephen Davis with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Happy you're with us, too, as well. Simon Abel with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A., Nueva York, 35 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment or mini this with Stephen, make a call, 646-652-2906. And don't forget, again, if you have a Vizio smart TV set, you can now get our program through Amazon Music. It's one of our podcast affiliates. So to all the folks who have Vizio smart sets all over the place, welcome aboard if you're catching our show for the first time. And I hope you make us a regular habit. We're on Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio. And we invite you to be live and interactive with our guests and yours truly. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04Name. Don't forget, after our show goes off, you can check it out anytime on replay at blogtalkradio.com/televised and any of our podcast destinations. And our shows are always available all weekend long for you to enjoy anytime you like. You know, Apple TV Plus has another musical show called Schmigadoon, which came on around the same time you did last year.
Yes.
Do people sometimes mistake your show for their show?
No, has not happened yet. I think potentially due to the animated and live action differences between the shows, I might be stopping the confusion, but I do enjoy Schmigadoon. I think Apple's making some really great musical comedies and just comedies right now as well. People like the Ted Lasso show.
The whole cast, Kristen Chenoweth,
yeah.
I saw one of the best things last year with that wonderful version of the great Robert Preston song from the Music Man Trouble. I think one of the best sequels all year. And Ariana DeBose, who just won the Screen Actors Guild Award for West Side Story, now a favorite to win the Oscar later this month. There's a great tap dance number, a tap dance and more, I should say, in a schoolroom on the top of a desk. It's really, you got to see it to believe it. I'm wondering, though, if those folks have tapped you to work on their second season. I've tapped you in terms of ideas for their next season, and you folks tapping them for ideas of either songs or way you do songs.
No, we probably – has not happened. We probably should, though. The Corn Pudding song, I believe that was in the first episode, is a real treat, and whoever wrote that should definitely write a song with Central Park.
Mm. You definitely will have a third season next year on Apple TV Plus. Any thoughts on how that's going to go? Are you starting to get the writer's room together and the actors together for, like, how you want to develop your characters, what songs you want to develop, what kind of pre-production work or groundwork are you doing?
We are, because of the nature of animation, these things take about 51 weeks to make. We are pretty deep in the process for season three right now. No spoilers, but a lot has been written. Animation has begun, music has been written, and we're in the thick of it, which is really, really exciting, and can't wait for it to don't have an air date yet, but we will happily report back when we do and speak to you again.
Mm-hmm. Now that the pandemic looks like it's finally over, mask mandates are coming down. For those who don't know, earlier today, New York Mayor Eric Adams said that starting on Monday, if you don't need to show proof of vaccination going into a restaurant or a bar or a gym, Universal Studios yesterday also made the announcement, same thing. You do not have to, if you're working on a project, you don't have to show proof of vaccination anymore. How is that going to impact the way your show gets produced?
Yeah, great question. I mean, we have this amazing office in Burbank that we have not been able to use, the built-in recording studio and a place to make music and a place to write and a place to – just a place for everything that we have. It's just been sitting there, just getting sun-stained in the valley, and I can't wait to go back there. I think there's going to be a world where it's a hybrid version. I think people have enjoyed having their own space. Some artists like to draw from the comfort of their home. Sometimes I like to write from the comfort of my home. I think hopefully there's a kind of hybrid in-office, not an office, where you as a artist or a producer can have the autonomy to come in when you're supposed to and be at home when you want to be. And I'm pitching this beautiful kind of, I want it to be this in and out artist community of people that can go in when they have to and be home when they want to be. And we'll see if that works out or if that just fails. But that's my vision for the future.
Mm-hmm. Central Park, second half of season 2, now running as of today on Apple TV Plus, available on most smart TV sets and smart devices. 3 episodes off the bat, 5 more coming your way between now and early April. And if you want more details about the series and about Apple TV Plus, the service, go to apple.com/TV. That's apple.com/TV. Central Park, second half of season 2, now playing on Apple TV Plus. Stephen David, executive producer and showrunner of the series, thanks for coming on this Friday afternoon. Congratulations on the success so far, which, by the way, includes an Emmy nomination and recently an NAACP Image Award nomination for Outstanding Animated Series. And congrats on season 3 and hopefully many more seasons to come.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I like what you do.
Same here, Stephen. All the best to you and your crew. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Have a good one. Enjoy the city.
Will do. Central Park, greater than ever. Take care. Stephen Davis from Central Park, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow with televised coming away, but first some words from our fine friends at Audible.com. Also today, Netflix has a new series called Pieces of Her with a sensational performance by its star, Toni Collette. It may be an Emmy nominee. We're, by the way, trying to get one of the executive producers on our program. It's based on a novel by a wonderful writer that Netflix, by the way, also has aboard as executive producer, Karen Slaughter. Well, Karen's newest audiobook is False Witness, and you can get it right now. It's really good stuff with the fine folks at Audible.com with a one-month trial. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and any of our podcast destinations. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get 1 free audiobook, that 1 month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, yes, Amazon.com, and also, while it lasts, important health and wellness information. Better yet, if you're already an Amazon Prime customer, 2 audiobooks you get for your trial of one. One of those can come from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, Best of Broadway, Off-Broadway, and Regional Theater, Great One Woman, and One Man Performances, and so much more. So how about making today the day you decide how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world for you or someone you love? Yes, there's always a time to listen to the good stuff, and you can with Audible.com. Remember, for all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. Happy to have you with us on this Friday afternoon for our first March episode of Tomorrow Be Televised, still in year 15 as the program about TV's current and future. Happy to have you aboard for the ride. Another great pair of guests coming away in the next half hour. And if you have a question or comment for them, use that phone, 646-652-2906, and the chat room, SimonApple04, my name. Again, we have a triple header of shows coming your way next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at this hour. Coming away on Monday, the founder and chief creative officer of Dog TV, celebrating its 10th anniversary with more original programming than ever before, not just aimed at dogs, but human beings too. Ron Levy will be our lead guest. Then from the upcoming Star series Shining Vale, co-starring Courtney Cox and Greg Kinnear, premiering this Sunday night, the co-creator with Sharon Horgan and executive producer Jeff Astrom. And from the new CNBC series premiering next week, No Retreat Business Bootcamp executive producer Nicole Elliott. That's just for starters on Monday's episode, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When we come back, the great pair behind the long-running BYU TV series Dwight and Shining Armor is back with a new series already getting rave reviews, premiered last weekend. It's called Ruby in the Well. Lee Ann and Brian Adams joins me live from L.A. after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tuning.com, together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month. And as of today, available on Amazon Music through Vizio Smart TV sets. Coming up tomorrow on BTR, it's Sports Talk Saturday. I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about the college basketball men's and women's tournaments, also what's happening post-NFL Super Bowl and right before NFL draft, plus the Major League Baseball situation, a whole lot more. Sports Talk Saturday tomorrow, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. Simon Applebaum here with you for our first March ride, and we are delighted to have you aboard as well, wherever you are. And remember, We'd like to talk to our next guest. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A number of years ago, we had the following pair on this program when they were doing a show on BYU TV called Dwight in Shining Armor. It turned out to be one of their longest-running shows, running 5 seasons. Last Sunday, they came back with a brand-new series that they created. It's called Ruby and the Well. Joining us live from Los Angeles to talk about it are the pair of Leanne and Brian Adams. Leanne and Brian, welcome back.
Hello,
hi.
Simon. It's so good to chat with you again.
Good to be back.
Same here. And both of you, congratulations on the great run that Dwight and Shining Armor had. Did you, Leanne, I'll start with you. Did you expect that, to the show to go 5 years?
Oh, gosh. I would say we hoped, but we could never have expected the success that the show had. It was such a little engine that could kind of show, such an underdog show, that the response we got from fans all over the world was really, really heartening. And every season we just felt like the luckiest people in the world that we got to do it again, that we got another season to do. So we felt very, very fortunate and certainly were lucky.
Brian, why do you think that Dwight hit home with not just BYU TV viewers, but other viewers as well and critics who were able to catch the show?
You know, that's a great question, Simon. One of our main goals from when we were developing Dwight was to make it a co-viewing experience, something that could bring the whole family together on the sofa to enjoy the show. So we had something, obviously it was a kid-directed, kid-led show, but we had some really significant, adult characters. We even had a grandma who was very significant in the show, by the way, who was based loosely on my own mom, Nana. And so we got lots of response from people literally saying that it was a three or four generational experience of all the family coming together, finding, humor, adventure, and a little bit of romance that was family-friendly at the same time. So I think that was one of the things that really hit with audiences.
So, Leanne, what inspired Ruby and the Well, which is more of a fantasy show than an adventure taking place in a specific era?
Yeah, that's a great question. So years and years ago, I'm going to say like 14 or 15 years ago, we became really interested in doing a show about a wishing well. It seemed fanciful, like you say, a little fantastical, and we thought, wouldn't it be fun if we could crack open how to do a story with a wishing well involved? And so we started doing a lot of research on Irish holy wells and trying to understand the mythology of wishing wells and where this idea came from. And through that, we got really tickled by the idea that we could tell a story where the wishing well is the protagonist, and you have this pile of inanimate rocks that is trying to accomplish something really important in human lives, but is really limited on what it can do, and it needs a human partner. And at the moment that we hit on that idea that it's about a team, this well and the well's human partner, that's when it became really an engaging story for us. And we developed the idea of Ruby, this little girl who becomes the keeper of the well. And the well, as much as it can store the wishes and protect the wishes and hold on to them, it can't actually grant them without Ruby. So she's the boots on the ground. She's the one that actually has to go make it happen. And that's really the end of the fantastical element of the story. There's no bibbidi-bobbidi-boo magic in this. Very different from Dwight, where there are witches and sorcerers and characters who wield magic in the real world. This magic is much more grounded. The only real magic is the relationship between Ruby and this wishing well. Once Ruby has been given the clues of the wish, she's kind of on her own to figure out how to grant these wishes. And she has not been endowed with any magical powers to do that. She has to just do the hard work of figuring out how to help people, and often how to help people help themselves. So in that way, the story becomes very human and very grounded and real, even though it has this magical wishing well at its center.
You know, Brian, throughout the history of television, we've seen shows that have the premise of every week, either a character or a situation pops up where you have to address it by making the situation right. You know, back in the 50s, there was The Millionaire, where you had the millionaire John Beresford Tipton give out $1 million to people he never knew. Or, for example, later on, there were shows like Early Edition, where our hero gets the next day, the day's paper, and finds out something that's supposed to happen that he's supposed to deal with, or Highway to Heaven, you know, or Touched by an Angel, and maybe more, and Quantum Leap, where, again, you have each week a situation that calls for something to be made whole and complete or right or whatever. And it seems that Ruby in the Well sort of falls into that that kind of premise television.
Well, Simon, you're like a TV historian. You should be teaching at Columbia. And by the way, you're making us feel really good because as we developed this, you know, some of those were our touchstones as we developed this. By the way, it was originally a feature. I don't know if you knew that. Leanne and I wrote this originally as a feature. It's a relatively interesting story we don't have to go into now, but Abigail Breslin was attached a long time ago to play Ruby. So it shows you how long we've been developing this. She's like 25 years old now. But as we developed it from a feature into a TV show, you know, some of those that you talked about, Highway to Heaven, Touched by an Angel, we got a lot of inspiration from that. And what we were looking for was a way to create a procedural without crime, you know, something that kind of mystery of the week element, but we didn't want to have a disembodied head laying on the floor. You know, obviously that's not our target market. And so when we hit on this idea that the well could be that never ending well, if you'll forgive the pun, of procedural elements that come out every week, give our protagonist a mystery to dig into. We thought, you know what, this, even though we envisioned it as a film, it could make a really cool TV show, and that's when we made the jump from film to TV with this one.
Yeah, how long did it take for both of you to come up with the premise and sort of flesh out not only that premise, but also the character of Ruby, the character of her colleagues that also work with her to figure out what is the wish and how do we solve it, and the whole sense of what we call the Bible, you know, where the show goes if it goes past the season.
Yeah. Yeah, well, most of the character work we did initially for the feature, and that we worked on the feature for about a year, really developing it out, and so much of the structure of the show, the main characters of the show, and the mythology of the well and how the well works and all of that was really developed for the feature. And then we just transferred it as we continued to develop it for a series. But as far as creating the show Bible and really figuring out the series, that process was probably also another year. This was a process in two acts separated by about 13 years of an intermission. But when we got back into it for a series and worked on that Bible, I would say that process was another year. And that was done in collaboration with the folks at BYU TV, with Andra Duke and Mike Dunn, Eric Christensen, the really great folks that helped us to figure this out as a series and figure out how it could be that procedural without crime. So then we created what we thought of as a mini that we could use, that BYU TV could use to get other partners excited about this project. So after that year or so of development, we had adapted a pilot script that we were excited about, and we had this mini Bible that really outlined the world, the how the magic was going to work, who the main characters were going to be, and like you say, like how this was going to work episode to episode, how this could really be a series going, you know, forever, let's just say. And that then BYU TV took up to the folks at Shaftesbury, to Christina Jennings and Jennifer McCann, who got really excited about the show at that point.
Well, and the other thing, as you know, we're actually in the middle of show running, Dwight and Channing Armour at that time. So we were looking to hire some showrunners, basically to co-parent this child of Ruby and the Well with us. And we were very lucky when we found John May and Suzanne Bolch, our Canadian showrunners. They've been incredible. I mean, Ruby came out of our minds and we nourished it for many years, but then we basically handed it over to them. And it's been wonderful to see the love that they've poured into this, and the way that we have kind of sent our baby out into the world, and John and Suzanne have really done an amazing job of shepherding that process as the showrunners of this show.
That's true, and you can imagine that could have been a strange relationship to have with new showrunners to bring in on a project that was so dear to us. But John and Suzanne have been wonderful collaborators, and so over the last 10 episodes and now 10 new episodes that will be season 2 that are already in production that we've worked with them, it's really been a great collaboration. We've been able to bring our ideas and continue to bring our ideas, and then they've just infused so much creativity into it and taken it in a really exciting direction for us. So we continue to work really, really closely with them to keep this, you know, a show that we're all excited about. Like Brian said, we're co-parenting Ruby.
Ruby and the Well, starring Zoe Wiesenthal. You may remember her from her performances on the CW's Charmed and the 100. She plays the title role, and the show runs Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific time on BYU TV. It was available not only on cable and satellite all over the country, but also on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We've got the creators of the program with us, Lee Ann and Brian Adams. They're also still involved with Dwight and Shining Armor, which is now getting into its fifth and final season, not only running on BYU TV, but it's also running globally through distribution by Paramount. They're joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and we're happy you are joining them and yours truly as well. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, where it's 35 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for our dynamic duo, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, we have another three-episode week coming your way starting on Monday, 9 edition for you, and with us will be the founder and chief creative officer of Dog TV. It started on one cable system, Cox Cable in San Diego, California. Now it's available all over the United States through smart TV sets and devices. And it's not just a service 10 years after it started aimed at dogs anymore. It's dogs and people with not only videos but original series as well. Ron Levy, the founder of Dog TV, with us live. And then from the brand-new Star series, Shining Vale, the premiere Sunday night, co-starring Courtney Cox and Greg Kinnear, co-creator and executive producer with Sharon Horgan, Jeff Astroff, in an internet radio exclusive. And from the new CNBC series premiering next week, No Retreat Business Bootcamp, executive producer Nicole Elliott. That's all coming your way Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. So join us right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's it been like for both of you, as you just mentioned, to give this project away to other showrunners, other executive producers, rather than, as you did with Dwight, you know, doing it yourself?
Well, that's a great question, Simon. I think it could have been a disaster, but the reality is it's been a really great experience for us. And it, you know, of course, started with Andre Duke, Eric Christensen, and Mike Dunn at BYU TV. And then when Andre made the connection with Christina Jennings, our executive producer, one of the executive producers on the show, and our the head of Shaftesbury in Canada. You know, Christina really is like the linchpin in everything, and she's done such a masterful job bringing in a great team. And as we mentioned, you know, when she introduced us to John May and Suzanne Bolch, that really helped. And it's been a little weird, I'm not going to lie, at the beginning, because we knew we didn't want to give too many notes to become odious, but we also wanted to preserve the magic in our creative. So it was a fine line to walk in the beginning, but we pretty quickly got into a good rhythm with the entire team. And now I feel like everyone has a little bit to add to this, and we understand the way that we work together, and we respect each other, what each person brings to this. So it's been, even though it started off with a little bit of weirdness, I think we've gotten into a great rhythm, and it's been a good experience.
Leanne, what's it been like to see Zoe perform your main character?
Oh my goodness, Zoe is a delight. a few things happened in the character development of Ruby way back when this was a feature. Ruby was quite young; she was supposed to be like a little girl, maybe 11 or 12 years old, and as show developed into a series, we aged her up to 14 just to make it a little bit more plausible that she could interact with her community the way that she's doing, and also specifically to give Zoe the opportunity for this role. Like, we recognized something really, really special when we found her, and we thought, you know what, this is our Ruby. She's maybe a little bit older than we had originally conceived, but she brought the character that we were really wanting from Ruby. What Zoe does so well is she makes Ruby very relatable. It would be easy for Ruby to become a stereotype of goodness and purity to a point where you're like, ugh, where she kind of makes you gag because you think, who could possibly be that sweet? But Zoe, well, first I have to say that our writers are conscious of that and are conscious of making making Ruby a fully dimensional character and an imperfect character. But then Zoe really makes her relatable. You see right into her good heart, and you see all of her little flaws and quirks, and she's kind of an eccentric character, and that makes her lovable instead of feeling like she's on a pedestal. So that relatability, that humanity that that Zoe brought to the part really made her capture our imaginations. And ever since then, you know, everyone involved in the show is now really creating a show around what Zoe has brought to the role.
Yeah. You know, Brian, looking at the cast up and down, many of them have had experience with shows that have had either a fantasy or a supernatural element. The person who plays Ruby's dad, Christopher Turner, has done Saving Hope, which I believe is a series that Holly Hunter was in for TNT, Good Witch on
right.
Hallmark, Daniel Riley, Dylan Kingswell did the Lemony Snicket series for Netflix, Series Unfortunate Events. He plays Ruby's next-door neighbor, Sam Price. Paul Bedrog was in The Handmaid's Tale. That's first place Sam's mother. So does that make a difference? How much does casting people who have done this type of television before, how does that, do you think, impact performance?
That is a great question, Simon. I feel like there's probably an inner nerd in everyone involved in this show that attracts us to these types of projects. So it's probably not an accident. And this is – so I definitely – we've seen that as we get the casting you know, tapes coming in. But we certainly – it's not a requirement as we're looking at cast that they have to have some sort of fantasy background. But it also doesn't help. And this is a little, you know, tricky because you have to have that fantasy, that love of fantasy, but then some real grounded sensibilities that you have to walk that line with this. So we've been so happy with every one of our cast members. And as you mentioned, you know, Dylan is our heartthrob, and so all the young ladies have been happy he's in the show.
You're hearing Leanne and Brian Adams. They are the creators of the new BYU television series, Ruby and the Well. It's on Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on that channel, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including, in addition to being on cable and satellite around the country. And by the way, it's part of a whole family-friendly Sunday night lineup that is running on that service. And we have a few more minutes with both Leanne and Brian. They're with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart TV Televised. So get on the horn, either with phone or chat room. Phone is 646-652-2906 or chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Coming up shortly, our classic trivia question of the week. We're going to give it to you one last time. If you know the answer, you will win the brand new Nailed It cookbook based on the popular Netflix series. And also coming up at the top of the hour, we've got our takeaway of the week. We call it Game On at Amazon. And we'll also explain why a guest that we had scheduled for the next half hour won't be with us. So that's all coming up after the top of the hour. For both of you, have you already plotted out your next act after Dwight and Shining Armor concludes? Do you have another series in mind? You may maybe have a deeper relationship with Ruby with contributing scripts. What do you see as the next act?
Thanks for asking, Simon. We actually do have our next act. We wrote and sold a feature to Netflix, and we got a significant star attached to it. It has not been announced yet. I'm dying to tell everyone about this. I believe it will be announced in the next couple of weeks. It is currently slated for production this June in New Orleans, which is where our movie is set. We're so excited about it. Our lips unfortunately are sealed, but that's been a big part of our time as we've been doing everything else that we do. We found that in this business you have to have a lot of irons in the fire, and that they've all gotten hot at the same time. So yeah, the Netflix movie will be the next thing that is released from us.
Mm-hmm. By the way, it's great to see New Orleans come back as a TV TV and movie production center, because they've been really hard hit by the pandemic for a long time. And it's great to see them coming back and come back big.
Yeah, we're very excited, and this movie really lives and breathes New Orleans. So we're excited to get down there and shoot it.
Mm-hmm. Leanne, beyond Netflix, what about another television series, whether for BYU TV or somebody else?
Sure, absolutely. We've got, I'd say probably three or four series that we have specced out pilots for that we're shopping around to various buyers, anywhere from like a kid show geared at 8 to 12-year-olds. We have one of those we're excited about. We also have a YA show geared at teenagers that we're about to take out, and we have another co-viewing drama kind of in the same vein as Ruby that we are shopping around as well. So, we are always on the hunt for the next buyer, for the next opportunity, and that really does require you to be constantly specking things out. We took advantage of the time during the lockdown to force ourselves to be very creative, and in that time have written three spec pilots. So now we're taking those out on the town to see what interest there may be, but definitely the kids space through co-viewing is sort of where we're most happy. And so that's what we're attacking with full force for our next series.
And Brian, what do you see in this kids, family, or co-viewing marketplace? It seems that it's really starting to flame up with a lot of networks and a lot of mega content services, not just one or two.
Yeah, that is a great point. We began developing Dwight and Shining Armor with BYU TV, I think whatever it is, 4 or 5 years ago. And at that time, co-viewing was not really a buzzword you heard very much. But now, as we've talked to other buyers, pretty much every network and streamer is looking for that element. It's really goes back to what TV was in the beginning, having a show that you could all relate to. I mean, in a way, TV has been and still is segmented. It's like, this show is only for 9 to 10-year-old girls. But it does make sense, if you can make it work, have a show that the whole family can come together on. So you're right. It's definitely the appetite for those types of shows has exploded, and we're grateful for it, because honestly, those are the stories we love to tell.
And for both of you, one more question. What do you think about the review? Some key reviewers around the country have reviewed Ruby, and so far the word from them is thumbs up.
Yeah, it's been so encouraging. Brian and I are such nerds that it always surprises us that anyone is watching anything that we wrote. That we're like, really? Somebody liked it? And it just feels so good to think that the show is reaching people. And specifically, the response has been like, this is a show I can watch with my kids. What a relief that we can all sit down and watch it together, and that it's wholesome, and it has such a sweet heart to it also, and it's really optimistic.
Well, and it's also, for us, the best part is watching the kids. I mean, in this crazy world, there are young kids, like 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, who post videos about this show. There's one, I forget the young girl's name, but she went on for like 5 minutes pitching the show to her little influencer audience better than we could have. And it was just, it was so heartwarming to see this very young lady talking about our show and how much she loved it and how it responded and how she responded to it and how it connected with her. And honestly, that's the best payday for us, is to see a young child get excited about a world we've created. It's the greatest.
Ruby and the Whale, starring Zoe Wiesenthal in the title role. That's now playing. Second episode this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on BYU TV, available around the U.S. of A by cable and satellite, and also by most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details about the program online, here's where you go, BYUTV.org. That's BYUTV.org. And, of course, check your local listings for where BYU TV plays in your area on cable and satellite. Ruby and the Whale, episode number 2, Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Anyway, one more time, Leanne and Brian Adams, thank you for joining us live in Los Angeles. Congratulations on getting this show off the ground, the final season of Dwight and Shining On, which is also playing, by the way, on BYU TV and also around the world, distributed by Paramount. And congrats on all the great success and much, much more to come.
Thank you,
Simon.
Pleasure to be here again. Look forward to chatting with you again sometime in the future.
We will definitely make the date. Leanne and Brian, take care. Enjoy a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Leanne and Brian Adams joining us live from Los Angeles. Now it's time for our Kalamari Televised Classic Trivia Question of the Week. This is the final day that we are offering this question. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the new Nailed It Cookbook based on the popular Netflix series hosted by Nicole Byer. It's baking challenges for the rest of us. And it is a Netflix question. Name Netflix's first original unscripted series back in 2015. Name Netflix's first original unscripted series back in 2015. Give you two hints. It's a two-word title, and the first word has an apostrophe S. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and your mailing address. If you've won already, you're not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question on Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, at Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Let's have a winner this weekend. And it all starts with you, so get in the game today, and all the very best. You are listening to Tomorrow Be Televised. We're now more than midway into our 15th year as the program all about TV's current and future. We come your way every Monday and Friday, and sometimes other days too, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Don't forget, we're also available 24/7 on podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Verbal, Reason, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and Amazon Music, which starting today, if you have a Vizio Smart TV set, you can catch the program right there. By the way, also, we are carried on iTunes, and we're also carried on Apple TV devices as well. So lots of ways to get our show. So if you're a newcomer, check it out, and check it out, our recent episodes or our past episodes from 2021 and before. You can get them at blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. We do appreciate it. And once again, I want to remind you, now we have a triple header week of episodes coming your way starting on Monday and our great guest catalog on Monday. We've got the founder and chief creative officer of Dog TV. It's hard to believe that 10 years ago we first covered this service when it was only on Cox Cable in San Diego, their cable system out there. Well, the founder is still going strong as chief creative officer, and Dog TV has gone from being just a set of videos aimed at dogs to programming aimed at dogs and their owners, and the rest of us too. Ron Levy, the founder of Dog TV, he's with us live as our lead guest. You won't want to miss it. Then from the new television series, Shining Veil, premiering on Sunday night on Stars, co-starring Courtney Cox and Greg Kinnear, co-creator and executive producer Jeff Astroff, Internet Radio exclusive. And from the brand new CNBC series premiering next week, No Retreat, Business Bootcamp, executive producer Nicole Elliott. It's all coming your way Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Big name edition for you, kicking off the week right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When we come back, our Friday feature, the takeaway of the week, we call it Game On at Amazon. And we'll also explain why the guests we were going to have on this next half hour will not be with us. That's all coming up after we pause near the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com. Together, reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month, and growing. How about making Jay King and Kings in the Morning a weekday habit? Starting this Monday, Jay King and crew will keep you informed, entertained, and a whole lot more. Kings in the Morning, every weekday, Monday, 11 Pacific exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Knapp, I'm with you live from New Haven, York. Good to have you with us. We still want to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up shortly, our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week. We call it Game On at Amazon. But first, we were expecting to have a guest come in right around now. Her name is Tara Merchant, and she is the founder and chief executive officer of one of the new networks you can find on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. It's a very ambitious network called Yada TV. That's Y-A-D-A TV. And they're calling it content for the people, by the people. They have a very ambitious agenda to be a service that's both by subscription and ad-supported that will offer everything from news programming, movies, original scripted and unscripted series, live concerts, stage plays, stand-up comedy shows and speakeasies, black martial arts, among other sports, work with NFTs to get new shows off the ground, all sorts of special programming. And it would be programming that would be done in part out of brand new studios in Queens, New York, as well as a special community outreach. Tara Merchant was very excited, along with the rest of the folks at Yada TV, to be on this program this half hour. Unfortunately, at 10:45 p.m. Eastern Time last night, Tara learned that her father had passed away, suddenly and unexpectedly. And as we speak today, she is now with her family in North Carolina doing what's important for them to do. I've already communicated with Tara our deep condolences, not just on my behalf, but your behalf and everyone involved with Tomorrow Be Televised, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. She gets it. And we are rescheduling her, hopefully, for sometime next week, and if not, the week after or later this month. And we'll keep you posted. In the meantime, if you want to find out more about Yada TV, all you have to do is go to their website, which is yadatv.com. It's yadatv.com or yadatvnetwork.com, and you can learn all about it. It's a very, very ambitious network, and it is available on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices, or soon will be. So once again, we're sorry that Tara Merchant cannot be with us, and we certainly understand the situation she's in along with her family. We wish them all the very best. We send our condolences to them. And we will keep you posted about rescheduling her for an upcoming Tomorrow Be Televised episode. And we hope it will be next week or the week after the latest. We certainly will keep you posted. And again, if you want to find out more about Yada TV, you can go to their website on the Internet. Again, wish her and her family all the very, very best. And now time for our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week, where we offer a development or two that we think you should take away from this week as a situation that very well will impact the future of television. And this time around, the takeaway of the week, the development of the week, happened on the first day of March, this past Tuesday, when Amazon announced that a cloud gaming service they had offered elsewhere in the globe called Luna is now available in the United States. And you can play it through using Amazon Fire TV, whether it's the Amazon line of smart TV sets or sets that have Amazon Fire TV already as an operating system, or the plug-in or stick or whatever. That is very, very big. And by the way, you can try Luna for free if you're an Amazon Prime customer. What's even more interesting is the possibility that you could use Luna to connect with Twitch, which is Amazon-owned very unique service that we understand is trying to get more and more on smart TV sets and devices. By the way, Luna comes in three different flavors. There's a Prime Gaming channel with the rotating selection of games for free like Devil May Cry 5, Observer, System Redux, Bogdog, Flashback, and that's, by the way, for Prime customers. There's a Retro channel that features very classic games like, Street Fighter 2, Metal Slug 3, Castlevania, and more. $4.95 a month, by the way. And then there is the Jackbox Games channel, which is sort of like the family game night service. You can play different party packs of games, including, well, one of my favorites, You Don't Know Jack, a Trivia Murder Party, all sorts of stuff. And there's also an interesting feature called Luna Couch, where you can invite others to join you and play the same games you're playing, even if they don't have a subscription to Luna. So what Luna is doing here in the United States through Amazon Fire TV and hopefully soon through other smart TV sets and devices is the latest example of what may be one of the big trends this year, and that is playing games on your television set, either individually or through specific game hubs, and we know that LG and Samsung, other smart TV set makers, are trying to offer these hubs, or through services like Luna, Google Stadia, Apple Arcade, GeForce Now from NVIDIA using their Shield smart TV, smart devices that allow you to play games without a console, to play them either with your voice, using artificial intelligence through the TV set like Alexa, Siri, or Google Assistant or something else along that line, or using it through a wireless controller. But you don't need a big console like PlayStation or whatever. So there is more to this. And, in fact, one of the things I'm going to be watching next month is the formation of a new event that the Interactive Ad Bureau is doing called Playfront. It's an event, a one-day event, that will be dealing with opportunities that advertisers have with video games. I'm having some TV opportunities are going to open up. That, by the way, will be taking place here in New York at the Convene location near Times Square, I believe. And we'll keep you posted about any news coming out of Playfronts that deal with television. It should be very interesting. But anyway, so again, if you want to know more about Luna, go to Amazon.com. They'll give you all the details about it. It's a very interesting cloud gaming service, and we'll see how fast this moves, especially for people who have Amazon Fire TV in some capacity. Incidentally, we have reached out to Amazon to try to get a representative from Luna on our program to explain what you can do with Luna on the TV set. They declined for now, and we will continue to be in communication with them. Well, that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us, all of you for tuning in. Remember, coming your way on Monday, first day of our triple header of episodes, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Joining us will be, in order, the founder and chief creative officer of Dog TV, now available on smart TV sets devices all over, Ron Levy. From Shining Vale, which premieres this Sunday night on Stars, co-creator executive producer Jeff Astroff. And from the new CNBC series premiering next week, No Retreat Business Bootcamp executive producer Nicole Elliott. If you came in late on today's episode and want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcast version. It's available 24/7 throughout the weekend and beyond on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music. Don't forget Amazon Music now available as of today on Vizio Smart TV sets. You can check up our show that way too, as well as through Verbal Reason and the iRadio Podcast Network. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our program today? And what's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? Always willing to hear, and I do respond. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name where you're emailing from. Remember, that's how you get involved in our class trivia question of the week. One more time, let's give that question. Last time we're doing it, name Netflix's first original unscripted series back in 2015. Two hints, two-word title. The first word has an apostrophe S at the end. So SimonApple04@yahoo.com, first with the correct answer, you will get the Nailed In Cookbook from Netflix. Don't forget, we love hearing from you, and we invite you to respond not only with that email, but also through social media, specifically Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Whatever you need to say and communicate, we communicate back within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because, as we always say around here, what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toews, BeatChart General Manager, Jay Steinberg is Head of Content. Website services provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitarist Bakus is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. So listen to good stuff. Now, get a one-month trial at audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We are back on Monday, 9th edition, rough and ready for you. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And if you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor. Learn what your medical situation is. Find out about all the special new therapeutics and antiviral pills that are now available to you or soon will be around the country. And then make a choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.